flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast with Sakisa. It's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. As always, my name is Sakisa, the head of the table, and this time she is riding solo. None of the rest of the club is here apart from our wonderful producer, Tim.
Hey, Tim. What's up? How's it going? How's life and all that jazz?
You can tell that Tim does not come on the pod a lot, because he's just like, hey, how is everyone doing? He is chippy and chappy. Bless you, mate.
I was at another recording, so I've had like a long time of just being silent in a room. So now to have to talk, I'm like, oh, yes, hello.
Okay, fine. If you want to talk, let's interact. Question of the week for Tim, as always, have you been watching wrestling?
No, I've had a busy week this week. I haven't,
We have all had busy weeks. I'll tell you what I've done this week. What I've done this week. What day is it? Today we recorded on a Thursday. Right, so I have already, on a Thursday, by the time it's a Thursday, so I have Monday. We'll start with Monday, because obviously that's a Monday. Monday. I did some work in the day.
Nice.
I did some work in the evening. I went to go see a show as well, straight after two jobs. Then Tuesday, I went to go and do some stand-up comedy. I was hosting on a Tuesday. I was tired. I had to leave at 11. Wednesday, did my job in the day, and then went to go through a flat. And then also then went to go and meet my ex-boyfriend. Then I went and hosted a show. Didn't get home till 11:30. This morning, had to go to the gym because my personal trainer is a dick. Then I had to go and see two flats this afternoon. And now we're recording this podcast. And I still had time to watch AEW, WWE, and TNA. What have you done this week? Oh, I just had dinner with my girlfriend.
I've been recording podcasts. I've been working. I've been doing other things. Okay, maybe not as much as you.
Shame on you! I also sent you a link to AEW as well.
Yeah, but like the link looked really shady. I didn't want to open it. I was like, what if she said? I was like, maybe she's got hacked. I don't know.
No, Tim. No. Shame on you. Shame on you, Tim. Anyway.
I'll tell you what. I have a proposition about watching wrestling, which is War Games is coming up. That's like
you have a proposition.
What? No. About like me watching wrestling, which is I think I should. Because I haven't really watched too much yet. I think War Games should be my first proper like pay-per-view I watch, because you guys have constantly been talking about how good it is of a show, and that's like the peak. So I want to watch that as like, that's what's going to get me into it.
You say this every time.
I said that for one other.
You say this every time. You didn't even watch WrestleMania.
I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
Oh.
I'm fine. I will allow you. Bad Tim for now. Yeah. But when you watch War Games, yes. Speaking of War Games, I will start talking about WWE first and then get into AEW, because we might as well, innit? I will actually start with my highlight of the week, which is Progress Wrestling this week was absolutely amazing. star-studded matches, but the highlight for me had to be, and if you haven't seen it, please go watch it on their channel. Amazing. Trent Seven versus Ricky Knight Jr. was epic, amazing, great storytelling. It was a great moment in British wrestling, I feel like, to see two of the best on the circuit at this moment in time going at it. And Trent Seven still looks like he can go. And he can go, from what I could see in that ring. It was nice to have him over from TNA, because obviously you've been seeing him on that. He did declare he is back in Progress for wrestling. I'm very intrigued to see what that means for his run within TNA, especially because he's just turned heel in it. So, but for me, I'm happy to see him back. Great. Absolutely amazing. So highlight of the week so far, Trent Seven versus Ricky Knight Jr. Please go see it online if you didn't get to watch it live. But if you didn't get to watch it live, where were you? Shame on you. Okay. Next one is on Unboxing, which is on the 30th of December. Everyone should be at Unboxing at Progress Wrestling. Go. I'll see you there. Number two. Highlight of the week, WWE wise, let's talk about it. It had to be. I've been talking about this for weeks. The Bloodline storyline has been running the show. And yes, there are great storylines going on Raw. There's great storylines going on SmackDown. But the Bloodline storyline is running WWE. And if you disagree with that, you are lying to yourself, okay? You can't tell me that this storyline is not been running WWE. Came to a head on Friday on SmackDown, where it was Roman Reigns' team came out into the ring after Solo Sikoa, obviously leader of Bloodline 2.0, basically said to him, "You must acknowledge me, otherwise you're all going to die in the ring." Also, why are you going to be so dramatic? Die in the ring? Come on now. So dramatic. Anyway, he was like, he basically was about to start talking. And then, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my God, Paul Heyman is back. Yes, Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman came back, revealed that he was not happy that there was going to be a 4-versus-5 match at War Games. And therefore, he has basically going to have his fifth member. His fifth member came out and happened to be who? CM Punk. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I was shocked. I was not expecting CM Punk. There was rumors going around it was going to be Brock Lesnar. Obviously, there had been rumors in light of stuff that had been going on storyline-wise on the shows that it was going to be Seth Rollins. As always, didn't need a fifth member. That's all I'm saying. And I will stick to my guns with that. Bloodline Original versus Bloodline 2.0 would have been fine. You didn't need Bronson Reed. We didn't need CM Punk. But I can understand why they've added them. It will be, obviously, the match of the night, I'm hoping. The question I have, and if anyone's got any views about this, please do let me know. Is Paul Heyman about to turn? I have a very... I don't know what it is. It's in my gut. I don't know what it is. He came out wearing, like, I know it's like Bloodline colours, but he was dressed like Solo. He had his little napkin. I was like, and even the way that he was just standing in the ring, I feel like he's about to turn on Roman Reigns, and I'd be very, very disappointed if that was the case. I think I could see why he would turn, because Paul Heyman has always been a better heel than he has been a good guy within wrestling. But my God, when we're at the height of the Bloodline storyline and Roman Reigns is trying to get back his flower necklace, can we not have him turn? Don't turn yet. Speaking of turning though, someone that I feel like, there's two people, or actually three situations that I feel like are about to happen where we are going to see massive turns leading into 2025. One of them is obvious. The New Day. Whether it is together, and for me, I really do hope it's together, because you can't split up the New Day. They just need to have a different direction. Them turning to bad guys would be the ideal thing. The New Day turning, but the alternative version of both of them turning together is that one of them turns on the other. And I personally really hope it's Kofi Kingston. I think we've seen Kofi being the bright light of the WWE for how many years now. I think it's his time to turn heel. And I think it'll be an interesting time for him as well to see how long that will ride out. Obviously, the reason why I'm talking about this is because the New Day are having their 10-year anniversary on Raw next week after War Games. There's been some tension building up over the last few weeks, and I feel like it's going to come to a head, and it's probably going to involve Big E, which is why I think it's going to be a devastating blow. Whoever turns on whoever, it's going to involve Big E, which will be great, but not great, if you get what I mean. The surprise turn I'm referring to is last week, Jade Cargill got taken out by a mystery person in the most interesting pose I have ever seen on a car. My girl was put in a pose, like she was modeling even though she was injured. If anyone else is not like getting what I'm referencing to, watch it on YouTube. She is in a pose, like my girl's like, she might
so dead. Oh my god.
Yeah,
so
oh my
injured.
God. I'm injured.
Oh girl.
What? Literally, her pose went, and say what? That's what her pose said. Her pose was injured and went, oh my god, say what? That's what the pose said. That's what the pose said. But she was taken out by a mystery partner, this week, I should say. And there were, again, there's rumors going around whether it's going to be Lash Legend, who was the person that took her out because she wants to be involved in War Games. But as we saw on Raw, Bayley was the one that saved Bianca Belair and helped her get the win against Nia Jax in the Vantes match. And we know the history between Bianca and Bayley for several years now, and how, especially Bianca said so on Raw, how she feels about Bayley. I think it's Bayley, and I think Bayley's going to turn. And if that's the case, fair dues, because a Bayley heel turn is always great for me in WWE. I just don't, at the moment, she feels a bit flat, and I feel like her entering the US Championship match for the women's division as a heel would be the best thing. I don't think she's going to win. It should be Chelsea Green. Chelsea Green needs to win the US Championship. Speaking about the women's division, though, in addition, we did have another announcement made on Raw this week, which was the women are going to have the Intercontinental Championship on Raw. Which, again, is interesting. It obviously comes into play about Netflix and the Netflix deal and all this situation, why they're adding an additional women's division match for the mid-carders. How do I feel about it? It's starting to feel a bit too AEW at the moment. Too many belts. You've got the women's championship belt on NXT. You've got the mid-card one on NXT. Then you've got the same for SmackDown. You've got same for Raw. So that's six titles over three brands for women who are so talented, who are so amazing, but half of them you are not utilizing to the point where I care. I can probably name you about six people, maybe seven people, eight max, from the women's division in total that I care about. And that's a shame.
Yeah. I was trying to think of which ones you would name, and it's like, so you got Rhea, you got Liv, Bayley, Nia, Tiff. Oh, Nia?
I have despite the boys being very much against Nia Jax being champion, I had championed her to have her second / third chance back into the WWE to prove a point. It's not gone very well. Her matches are not great. And she's still making mistakes. And it's visible. It's not even like it's secret mistakes or backstage situations. They're visible mistakes on TV. That someone in her field, someone who is champion, someone who's been going as long as she's been going, shouldn't be making. And her as champion at this moment in time, I don't care about. Who I care about in regards to that storyline is Tiffany.
Yeah, Tiffy time.
Tiffy time. Liv is an interesting one again for me. I don't buy it as champion. I don't. Like, it's not really, I don't really watch Raw and think, you know what I care about today? The women's division. No.
Fair.
I don't care about her belt.
I don't know. Like, there needs to be more of a storyline around that.
Well, the only storyline she's got is Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
I don't even care about Liv Morgan because she's not even number two in her own storyline. She is number three in her own storyline. You know who's number two in her storyline? Dominic Mysterio. How can a man up you in your own storyline? How can you be the side chick in your own storyline?
You've got the love triangle and she's just kind of at the bottom, like hanging out there. And it's like, yeah, these two have the main antagonism.
When she's the person in the threesome who's out getting drinks. Would anyone like anything? That's what she's doing.
Anyone want a cigarette, condoms, a towel, you know?
Anyway, we'll see what happens. I want WWE with the women's division to take it seriously. They're adding two new belts into the division and I don't want them to get lost. I don't want people to not care about them. And that is my worry. Because you already are treating some of these female wrestlers as if you don't care about them.
Yeah.
Give them proper storylines. Give them proper momentum to get, when we get them to Netflix, to be, hey. Speaking of Netflix, before we talk about AEW, obviously, we've all got the email in the United Kingdom. WWE is moving to Netflix, which we knew. But we all got the email stating that our WWE Network subscription is no longer going to work in the UK. It is also not going to work in other parts of the world. But obviously the people in the UK have got with that email. They have stated that WWE content is going to be moved over to Netflix. Now, the question I have is, what content is this? Because obviously they did mention Raw, SmackDown, the PLEs. But what about all the old content? Like all the previous pay-per-views, all the previous PLEs. It's pay-per-views, PPE. Come on now, people. I'm old school and I will be old school to the day I die. Okay. all the shows that are on the network, we no longer get access to those? Are they all moving to the network? To the WWE Netflix page? Also, is there going to be a WWE Netflix page? Is it that you just press WWE and it comes out into this whole like department? You know how Disney does it on their channel? You have this, like, you press whatever one you want, it's all. Is it that? Because if so, it's gonna be so confusing. I still haven't obtained my Netflix subscription, and to be honest with you, I don't know if I will.
You're gonna find another way of watching it.
I just might go and watch it at a friend's house, isn't it?
Oh yeah. That's a good way of saying it for legal purposes.
Because obviously we know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get everyone to move everything over to WWE, Netflix. But the problem I've got is really enjoy Netflix in general, but I do find myself in a wormhole with it where there's so much going on, I don't have enough time to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, American reality TV show about where they, it's like hip hop, it's like a rap contest in America, has come back onto Netflix, and I completely forgot until someone shared something on their Instagram. I saw an Instagram reel today about it, and I was like, I completely forgot that was starting this week or last week. And it's probably already 5 episodes in, because that's how Netflix does. But I was still like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I probably will end up with
it. It's overwhelming, and they're bad at organizing the content on the site.
Yeah.
Well, they're good at organizing it for money purposes, but not good for actual viewing purposes.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But we'll see what happens. I probably will end up buying Netflix, because you know me. Mm-hmm. She is too much of a wrestling fan to not buy Netflix. We might as well talk about AEW now. And obviously, they did have their big pay-per-view, Full Gear. So let's talk about that now, shall we? Full Gear. The pay-per-view that Tim did not watch. I'm not going to go into all the matches. The reason being is because there were 9 matches on the card, and that was just on the main card. Was it even including the pre-show? 9 matches on the main card. I'm not even going to lie to you. I couldn't even finish it in one go. Couldn't even finish it in 2 goes. I finished it in 3 goes. 3 goes, people. Took me 3 goes to finish this pay-per-view. That's like what... I don't even do that with dick. Like... I'm a one go girl. Tim's died.
I just like I'm
you're right there, don't have a hard time.
What you meant by that. I'm like, you'll give it 3 tries and then see it, like if it's not good after the 3rd try, you're leaving that dick behind. Or is it like if this dick doesn't work once, like fuck it, it's out of the rotation.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah,
you got one
but
goal.
Also I can also with certain things, for example like my mouth, I will give it 3 goals, but we don't need to have 3 goals because she's a one girl kind of guy.
She's gonna make it work in one girl.
One girl.
One girl.
She don't need 3 goals. She don't need it.
Hell yeah.
How is she still single? Anyway, 9 matches. I'm going to run through them really, really quickly. The ones I will talk about more in detail, I'll tell you what. The matches, again, were great. Problem I have, too long. So we did have the 4-way AEW Tag Team Championship match, Private Party versus the Outrunners versus the Acclaim versus the Kings of the Black Throne. We do still have the retaining champions, which is Private Party. The interesting thing about this match is that there is obviously stuff going on within the Acclaimed. They're obviously going to break up eventually. Like, the problem is it going to be before or after? And also, Casta is acting a damn fool at this moment in time, and I really am enjoying it. He's acting like he's the best thing on since sliced bread, and I'm like, you are not. The best thing since sliced bread is hard dough bread. There you go. You're going to say dick again. Get your mind out the gutter.
Best thing since sliced bread. Dick.
It would have had a better ring to it, but you know, it is hard dough bread. Anyway. We did have MJF versus Roderick Strong. MJF won again. A decent match. Really happy about it. MJF basically wraps a chair around Strong's arm at the end of it and stomps on it. Then we had Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly in the Kingdom come out. And there's obviously tension with Kyle being like, it's all your fault, Adam. So it's obviously going to move into this week with Dynamite, which I have seen, and we will talk about it in a second. We then had the AEW TBS Championship with Chris Statlander versus Mercedes Moné. Mercedes had retained the championship in this match. I'm going to give it like a... There was parts of it I really enjoyed. Some parts of it I didn't enjoy. Like, I'm still struggling. I'm not going to lie to you. I really love Mercedes Moné. But her in AEW, I'm really struggling with. Like, I'm struggling with her promos. I'm struggling with, like, how she presents herself. There's something about her that I'm just not connecting in AEW, and I don't know what it is. One of the matches of the night for me is the next one, which is Hangman Page versus Jay White. Oh my God! Watch the last 5 minutes of this match. Banging. Absolutely banging. Two of the best professional wrestlers at this moment in time. I was going to say, I was expecting Hangman to win, but obviously Jay White got him over and won. And I was like, oh. 2-0. How much do you feel? We kind of found out how he felt, because straight afterwards, he went straight after Jay White and tried to hit him again. Christopher Daniels, who's obviously the reigning EVP, kind of got pissed off with him and kind of said, what are you doing? And so Hangman Page basically punched him. And spoiler alert, no repercussions. No repercussions, as far as we understand. I've watched Dynamite. They mentioned it, but again, no repercussions. No fine, no suspension. If anything, he got rewarded because he got put onto Dynamite and did a promo about the fact he wants the AEW championship. How is that? So in order for you to get a championship match, all you need to do is punch the EVP. Okay, maybe I'll do that next time. Obviously, I won't, but because, you know, she's not in wrestling.
But she could be. That's the important part. She could be.
No, she definitely could not be. My body is dead. next up, we have got probably... there's three matches for me that were banging in this pay-per-view. This is the second one. It had to be Carl Fletcher versus Will Ospreay. Honestly, match of the show. Top match of the show, definitely. And we did have a winner, which was Carl Fletcher. And in considering the storyline and where this is going, props. Because for the first time ever, he's beat Ospreay and did it semi-clean, I'm going to say. Semi-clean. The last 5 minutes are brutal to watch. Just Ospreay just getting bashed from the outside, bashed with the steel chairs, bashed with the steel steps. And then the top rope buckle. Brain Buster, oh my God, looked devastated. But I will say, in order for Carl to come out of the shadows of his tag team era, out of the Will Ospreay era, great storytelling, absolutely. Really, really enjoyed it. I do feel bad for his tag team partner, though, because you are obviously going to be left in the dust. Gonna be left in the dust, my friend. I'm so sorry. We did have this weird championship, the AEW Women's Championship champagne celebration with Mina and Mariah May. And then Mariah May has turned on Mina. Why? I have no idea. Maybe because she's hotter than you. Maybe that's why. Maybe you're a jealous bitch. Maybe that's why.
Okay.
Don't know why. But I enjoyed the spot. She basically, Mina speared her off the ramp onto a table. The spot was great. That was about it. AEW TNT Championship. Jack Perry versus Daniel Garcia. And yes, we do have a brand new TNT champion, Daniel Garcia. Oh my God. Great match, great energy, underdog storyline. was obviously involved in this situation. Really, go watch the match again. I would say definitely the second half of the pay-per-view is probably the best half of it. But definitely go watch this match. If you're going to watch anything, watch this match from the beginning to the end. The others are all, the rest are great. But definitely this match, the Will Ospreay match and Kyle Fletcher, definitely watch those two matches because they are, you can't blink. Like, I went to the toilet thinking there's like, halfway through this match, thinking like, oh, it's fine. They're just doing this. No, it came back. I missed like a whole bit. I had to go rewind. I was annoyed. Anyway, watch this. Next up, we had the AEW International Championship with Kushida versus Ricochet. It was fun. It was fun.
It happened.
It happened. It was there. Fine. Wasn't my favorite match of the show. Ricochet was there. That's all I've got to say. Bobby Lashley from the Hurt Syndicate versus Swerve Strickland. And wow, did they really try to paint Lashley as a powerhouse in this match, because he dominated from the start. However, there were points where Swerve Strickland did get his two-piece in. The spot off, I can't remember if it was off the top row. I don't think it was. The spot where Swerve stomped Bobby Lashley from the steel steps onto the Spanish announce table is amazing. Just watch the impact it has. It was, yeah. But they did definitely try to dominate Lashley in this whole thing. I don't think it was the best match on the card. It was the match I was looking forward to the most. But it wasn't the match that I thought it was going to be. And that actually is quite sad. I'm assuming they're going to have round two, considering what happened after the match, because they also attacked Prince Nana. But Swerve didn't tap out. He basically passed out from the Hurt Lock. So I'm assuming that how we're going to see the last round. We then had AEW Heavyweight Championship featuring Jon Moxley, who entered as champion, versus Orange Cassidy. And as you can expect with a Moxley match, there was blood. There was a lot of 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 blood. The match was fine. The match was fine. The match was adequate. The match was good. And you can see how badly Orange Cassidy was trying to like reclaim the AEW championship, to try and reclaim peace within AEW. You could see the desperation. But obviously Moxley and the Death Riders were too much for him, because basically Orange Cassidy lost via the interference from Weeder. However, it's what happened after this that was chaotic. So firstly, after the win, the Death Riders come out. And then Willow Nightingale had already taken out Marina. And then, so that had all happened in the ring. Then Cassidy lost. They were trying to beat him up again. And basically putting some chemicals down his throat. That's what they were trying to sell it as. He's basically putting some chemicals down his throat. Hangman Page comes down and lays out Wheeler with a chair. And I'm like, oh, have you just turned face? What's going on? He stares down Moxley for ages. And then Christian Cage comes out of nowhere. Him and Hangman Page have some sort of like stare down, whispering discussion, and it seems to be that how the agreement is Christian Cage is going to cash in his contract, and then Hangman Page is going to be the first person he's going to challenge. That seems to be what the agreement was. If you help me win, I will get you the first match. But before Christian Cage could even sign the contract, Jay White comes down and interferes. Then it's all chaos. The Death Riders are back in the ring. They basically fuck up Jay White. They then go off to Hangman Page. And then they basically run off. They run off. They're trying to get, obviously, their champion out of the way. They run off backstage, try and find a car. Before they get into their truck, another truck slams into it. Like, and it turns out to be Darby Allin. This man has a death wish because that crash looked proper. And he came out and he was bleeding from the head. He seemed to have internal injuries. I'm like, why do you want to die? Darby Allin is that comedian on the circuit who knows he shouldn't be gigging, but he is gigging. Why? Because it's the only thing that he's going to give him life. Stop doing it to yourself. Find a person. Do something else. It's too much. It's too much. Too much, Darby Allin. And then this week on Dynamite, I have watched it. They obviously was the first night of the Intercontinental Challenge. Challenge? Is it Challenge? The A-double Continental Classic. There we go. So it's the first night, and in, I'll tell you who's on the blue side, we start that off. It's Okada, Shelton Benjamin, Mark Briscoe, Kyle Fletcher, Daniel Garcia, the Beast Matos. That's on the blue side. On the gold side is Darby Allin, Claudio, Brody King, Will Ospreay, Ricochet, and Juice Robinson. So those are the people on each side. They've changed the rules slightly this year. Just slightly. But two matches happen this week. But anything, it's all to play for. And I do really enjoy this Continental Challenge classic because no one's allowed to interfere. There's still like points if you draw. It's great. Basically, what I'm trying to say is AEW was okay this week. It was actually really decent. The Full Gear situation was great. Don't really enjoy the stuff with MJF. I don't really care. The women's division, as always, just needs to improve. How was there? Was there only one match on Dynamite this week for women's division? I think it was actually only one match, and it came towards the end. Not very happy about that. We have got one last pay-per-view coming up, and it's whether Jon Moxley will be champion by the end of the year, and I believe he will be. But I want to know what's going on with the cult. What is the message? What are we saying? That's my main situation. If you haven't seen Full Gear, do go watch Full Gear. I would highly recommend it, especially the second half of it. But this week coming up, we have got CM Punk versus Roman Reigns in the middle of the ring and SmackDown having a conversation. And I can't wait! Yeah. Let's talk about it next week, shall we? Tim, hopefully you would be... This time next week, we're going to have a conversation about War Games, prediction-wise. And then expecting you to be watching it on Saturday!
All right, I will. This is the one. This is the one I'm going to do it for.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Apart from that, this has been another episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. Please do like and subscribe. We love you. Bye.
Flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast with Sakisa. It's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!